afternoon, Australia. Good evening, America. You're welcome back to Radio Tony Live. This is your everyday business show. Now, as with live radio, often things don't quite go to plan, and so my beautiful guest is a little delayed in getting live. So you're going to have me and me alone for the next few minutes while I tell you about what's been happening in my world. For those of you listening live on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, we have the gorgeous Cleo in the Philippines listening and ready to receive your comments and answer your question. He also has the link to connect with me and also my guest today. Before I get on and tell you a bit about our beautiful guest today, Jules Brooke, just a little bit of info about what's been happening in my world. So I don't know if many of you have seen the news across Australia. We have had a huge rain event. This sometimes happens at the end of March and heading into April, and often we can anticipate kind of a wet Easter. Across the course of my life, I've probably seen more wet Easter periods than anything else, but this year we have had phenomenal rain. So not only have we been flooded locally, we have also had flooding across the southern end of Australia, and they have had catastrophic flooding, and they're looking at $1 billion replacement and cleanup to get that sorted after the level of flooding. So they've had 1 in 100 year flooding across the southern states of Australia, and we've had just phenomenal flooding.
So about
700 mils of rain. And so we are just getting Jules live on air. I just want to quickly mention, for those of you that are regular listeners and watchers of this show, you may not know that this is my own show, whom I invite, and we talk to them and interview them.
No video.
But across the rest of my platform, we have the ability for businesses to come on and do series of co-hosted shows with me. So those series of co-hosted shows are designed to promote businesses across the planet. So we have quite a large audience in the US. Radio Tony, Tony TV has quite a large network across the world. So I encourage you today, if you're listening and you're curious about those collaborative business packages and programs, then just jump in and get in contact with me at info@radiotony.com. Now, Payo's listening live, and he can pop that email up in the chat box for those listening live on the social media. For the rest of you, it's just info@radiotony.com. And I can tell you all about those packages and the services we provide. It's an encompassing, all complete, done for you and done with you package that is aimed to teach you and collaborate with you and get your business out to a wider platform. Now, I can see Jules is almost live online, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about my fantastic guest today. Jules Brooke is the CEO of She's the Boss and Handle Your Own PR. She's the founder of a do-it-yourself PR service for business owners, and she's been teaching people how to get media coverage for their business for over 10 years. Handle Your Own PR has helped thousands and thousands of small business owners make millions of dollars worth of media exposure by running their own PR campaigns using her online boot camps, coaching, and PR SaaS platform. Jules' students have been on TV, radio, and featured in magazines and newspapers nationally. Many have gone on to huge success in their business. Her She's the Boss community, which is also founded by Jules, has grown heaps since the start of the pandemic in 2020. There are regular free Zoom lunches for women around the country every Friday lunchtime. No agenda, but lots of business and lots of connections gets done in those lunchtime Zooms. She's also got a wonderful podcast called She's the Boss, She's the Boss Chats, Jules has a YouTube channel called She's the Boss, featuring interviews from wildly successful women in business from around Australia and the world. Jules is on a mission to help women build their profile in media and also to showcase all the incredible women that are changing the world with their businesses. It's time we put the spotlight on amazing female founders and women doing extraordinary things in business. I could not agree more. From a personal perspective, Jules is the mother of three gorgeous boys, including twins. She has a wonderful supportive partner called Dave and a dog called Nugget. Now, Nugget would just have to be an Australian name for sure. She loves reading, cooking, music, movies, socialising with friends and the beach. Jules Brooke, I am so delighted to have you on the show this afternoon. I must apologise. We have managed to stuff up the times, but that's the way it goes with live TV, radio. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just don't get it right. But I'm really appreciative that I reached out to Jules and went, hey, we're almost ready. And she goes, oh, my God, I'm ready. In all her glory. So today we're going to try and talk about growing a business and a community from COVID lockdown. But before that, good afternoon, Jules.
Good afternoon, Tony, and I'm so sorry I'm late. I really didn't. I had these great plans and then, you know, anyhow, I'm here. Better late than never.
I think that sometimes the best laid plans go amiss and we create magic anyway. I'm really excited to have Jules on the show today. She is an amazing woman in business and an amazing entrepreneur. And I thought we'd start today's interview talking about life and business pre-COVID. What did it look like for you? What were you doing and what were your plans before COVID hit?
Okay, well, the beautiful thing for me, which was pretty lucky, is that I was working from home anyway. So in 2009, in the last recession, and I say that because, of course, we're now in the middle of another one. But anyway, yes. I had a PR agency and I was working with lots of small business owners. And when the GFC hit, all of a sudden, all our clients started peeling off because obviously PR wasn't the top of their list of, you know, necessities when you've got to buy groceries and things. And so I had a bit of a light bulb moment and I just suddenly thought, you know what? The media really, really needs stories. And I've got all these amazing business owners that have incredible stories. Why don't I just teach people how to go direct? So that's is basically what I set up in 2009. And then kind of developed a bit more. So I've been running it for all this time whilst I had a PR agency. And then in 2017, I did the crazy thing that no entrepreneur should ever do. And I sold my house and put it into building the PR SaaS platform. So my life pre-COVID was teaching people how to do PR mainly online.
Jules, can you tell the listeners about the SaaS platform, what it does, why you developed, and your learnings from developing that platform?
Absolutely. So I actually have just been finishing an interview with somebody who said to me, what were some of the big things that happened, big challenges that happened, and building that SaaS platform was one of them. So first, let me explain what it is. So SaaS, for anyone that doesn't know, is software as a service. And what it basically means is it's those websites where you go on and do your stuff on the website at the time rather than downloading anything and doing it, you know, offline.
Yes.
So my SaaS platform is, it's Australian at the moment, but I am looking to go back to, I've had it in America before and in the UK and I will over the next couple of years. But it's a place where you can go, you build your own media contact list. So I guide you through. So you can say, I want to do business. And then you could say, I want small business. And then you might say, I want startups, for instance. So you get choices and you build a media contact list of TV, radio, blogging, podcasts, magazines, newspapers, digital media outlets. That's kind of, I've got a few thousand in there. And people can go on, they can then, there's a media release template where they can put in their photo and their headlines and their body copy. They can send themselves a test one. Then when they're happy with it, they can go to the media contact list that they've built. They can see the person's name, phone number, email address, what it is that they do, and they can select them, send emails out to them with their media release in the email, and then do their follow-up. And it's all in the one platform, and it's super affordable, I have to say. So I've made it so that, because I really want to get these small business owners in the media and understanding that editorial is free. You don't pay anything for it. So if you can learn this kind of a skill, then it doesn't matter if you don't have much money left in your marketing budget. You can still go out and get publicity for yourself. So, so that's what I've created.
So, Jules, people can log on to your platform and it will guide them through, tell them the costs involved. And when you're talking about costs, it's kind of like it's a small outlay in comparison to some of – so I've been talking to clients in America and some of them spend upwards of $100,000 on PR, and they're a small to medium business. So they're not they're not a corporation. So what you're saying essentially is your platform can help people to do it themselves for a much more cost-effective way.
Yes. In fact, you don't pay as you go. It's unlimited and it's under $1,000 a year. And then I run.
Amazing.
So then I also run, just while we're on the topic, I also run courses where I match people with journalists, and the journalist's job is to sit down with you, Tony, and say, okay, what do you want your PR to do? And then you say, I want it to do this, that, and the other. And they go, well, look, that idea is not going to work in the media, but this one will. Okay. And then you go and write, because I think it's really important that you learn how to write in the style that the media wants, and they will edit your release for you. So I run these programs where I match people one-on-one for 4 or 5 hours so they can get 2 or 3 media releases done, know they're newsworthy, and get them edited by a journalist. So it's pretty much ready to go.
But Jules, just tapping on one of those points then, the writing that we do for traditional media is very different to the general writing that we do. So they've got a certain formula in their head that they need to meet, and you teach people how to write in that way.
That's right, because the general... our natural instinct when you've got something to say, especially when you want to promote your business, is to tell everyone how great your business is. But the reality is that nobody really cares about your business. You know, without wanting to be rude to people, this is where I'm brutal.
No.
But the reality is they care about themselves. So they don't care about your business processes. They don't care that you've just launched this or that you've got that. But they do care. How can your business help me? So I teach people to write articles that are not all about how fabulous they are, but that are about how their business can help other people. And then at the very, very bottom, just before the end, you say, if you want more information, go to www.whateveryourwebsite.com, and that is how you do PR. And it's lots of thought leadership stuff, advice, tips, helping people to avoid make mistakes. It's all those kind of articles that will get picked up time and time again.
Because you've been doing this for decades, Jules, so this is wisdom gained from a real experience.
Absolutely. I mean, I had an agency for 15 years, and I would say over the last 10 years now, I've probably helped conservatively over 1,000 business owners. So, you know, I've been doing it a long time. I know what works, and I know that anyone can do it, even if they think they can't and they think that they can't write or they think their story isn't that interesting, there is always a way.
That's fantastic. So that's teaching people in business how to handle their own PR. Is it Australian-centric and you're looking to expand overseas, Jules?
Yes. Yes and yes. So we've had it in America with 3 different times, but that was pre the PR SaaS platform. The SaaS platform to me has changed everything. So I'm just refining the model in Australia. And then if there's anyone listening, I'm looking to find a partner in the US and a partner in the UK that would like to run it over there for me. And, you know, we'd partner up to do it. But that's what I'm doing.
Fantastic. I have looked at Jules' PR stuff and it's just magnificent. So any small business that's looking, Jules is so helpful and so keen to help you do this yourself and teach you. It's a powerful skill to have as a small to medium business, and the knowledge, there's power in knowledge. So if you know how to do this and you do it for yourself for a while, then when you grow and get bigger and you're starting to employ people to do it for you, you can clearly see whether they're actually achieving what you want them to achieve for you.
That's right.
Forward to 2020, the year of horror and all things.
It's horror, but I would also say opportunity.
I agree. I'm just going to say, along with all the stuff that happened, there was incredible opportunity for businesses to change the way that they do things, to change the way that they do business. And that absolutely happened for me. But it changed some things for you too, didn't it, Jules? What were those?
Okay, so I used to have a show. There is a TV network in Australia, an online, on-demand video TV network called Ticker TV. And I happened to meet the guy the week that he started it. And so I was very lucky in that he was looking for people to host shows. And so I put up my hand and I said, yes. So I did a show about Handle Your Own PR that never really felt comfortable, because the reality, and you would know because you've had shows, is that people don't want to show their vulnerability. So a lot of people did. My idea was I'd have this show and I'd coach people live on air and help them. Yes. But the reality is a lot of business owners don't want to go, I don't know what I'm doing, on air, on TV, in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. So I was trundling along with that one, and then the guy who owned it said, well, I need more shows. And I said, there's just no shows on TV at all for women in business. Like, you would honestly think that we don't exist.
Agreed. Absolutely agree.
So I said, let me do a show about women in business, particularly entrepreneurial women, because that's what I love.
Yes.
So he said yes, and for 6 months I had this show, and I was inviting these women on, and I would tell them, I became really interested not in give me your three best tips for people or whatever. I was interested in how the hell have you got to where you've got to? So if you're now at the top of your game, or you've got this successful business, what's happened since you left school that's allowed you to get there? So they're quite long interviews. Anyway, basically with Ticker TV, I wasn't going in the direction that he wanted. He wanted it very much to be a news channel. I wanted to have long interviews with these women. And so he said to me, so the initial thing he said to me was, why don't you do a podcast? And I thought, wow, my partner, my life partner, Dave, is an audiobook producer and podcast producer. So he said, I'll do it, I'll produce it for you. And I thought, okay, poor guy, I'm telling you. I think he thought I'd probably do six, and I've done 100 since last July. So I think it was at about 70 that he said, okay, I can't do this for no money anymore. Because I'm just so interested in these women. I got quite carried away.
Yes.
And then in July in Melbourne, and then what was the next thing that happened? So the next thing that happened was, the lockdown came in Melbourne, and we didn't know how long it was going to be for, but it looked like, I think at the beginning, we all thought it might even go to 3 weeks. Like, it was going to be what we thought was a long time. And so when I used to work in newspapers many years ago on Fridays, I used to love going out for a boozy lunch. I don't know if that just makes me an 80s, an 80s retro whatever, but I love a boozy lunch on a Friday at the end of the week. And because I've been running my own business for many years, I haven't been able to do it because there's no one to do it with. And so in January last year, bad timing for me or good timing, I thought, well, I'm going to start running a lunch once a month just for the women in my local area to come along and, you know, like, let's all just, you know, chat with each other. And I did it because I was hosting this show and I had all these amazing guests. A lot of those women said they wanted to come along too. So we did the first one. It was fabulous. Second one comes along and we're in lockdown. And I had just signed up to Zoom, and I thought, I'm going to give it a go. I have no idea how to use Zoom, but it can't be that hard. I'm going to give it a go. Yes. So I just did a post and said, I'm going to start doing an online Zoom lunch. Whoever wants to come can come. Hashtag no agenda. I don't want it to be speakers or anything like that. Just come if you want to. And that was 49 lunches ago. So I have done it every week since then, barring 3 weeks over Christmas. So, and it's been wonderful. And I've just met all these great women and they've really been championing me at what I'm doing. So then I did the podcast and then I got, I don't want to say kicked out, but my show was paused because of the lockdown and I didn't feel it was going to go back on air. Mm-hmm. And so I probably...
So this is Ticket TV.
So I resigned and said to him, look, I'm not going to do it anymore. And he said, oh, thank you so much. So I had a feeling he wasn't going to keep me much longer anyway. But the same day, I went out on my Facebook page for She's the Boss and I said, listen, girls, I'm not going to have a TV show anymore. But, you know, we've got the podcast and we'll think of other things. And they all just said, no, you've got to keep going. And lo and behold, someone rings me like half an hour later and said she was a media training business. And she said, excuse me, I've just dismantled a whole TV studio. I've got all the equipment and nowhere to put it. Would you like it? And I was thinking, oh my God, this is the universe telling me. And so I said, And in the same breath, my 19-year-old son, who's brilliant at audio visual, said, I'll produce it for you. Mm-hmm. And so that was, I know, it was amazing. And so I started this show. Jake, my son, then started the YouTube channel. Ticker TV gave me all my old interviews, so I put them up. And then I started interviewing, and I went crazy. And I've just interviewed such incredible women from all around the world, from Iceland to New York to Sydney to England, you know, it doesn't matter, all over. So that's what I've been doing, and now I've realised that I need to monetize it. So I haven't actually. So I've had a fantastic year, and I've met incredible people, and now I'm going to look for some sponsors for it. But it's just a fantastic journey, and I love helping these women get exposure because as we were both talking about, I don't think there's I don't think there's women just don't appear on television.
Let's have that discussion because you know and I know how difficult it is to get airtime for women. Mm-hmm. I've had a number of discussions this week with colleagues and girlfriends around the idea that the networking groups, the business groups, they're male, predominantly male. And that's not to denigrate men. We don't say this to have a go at men, but
No. We love the same. No, but I guess for me, I feel that there are lots of networking and business groups actually for women. I think there's lots of podcasts for women, but it stops there. And I just don't see any visibility, particularly of business women.
Business.
In the media, in the television media, unless they're a unicorn. So unless they are that extraordinary young woman that goes out and builds Canva and raises $2 billion. So you see those women.
Yes.
And you see a few of the journalists that we've known since they were 20 who've worked their way up who are still there. But in terms of women hosting TV shows, there's very, very few. Right. And then if you put business into it, there's almost nothing. In fact, there is nothing.
Because
as part of my research, I went looking for shows about female founders around the world, television, and I came up with two, one in America and one in Norway. But the Norwegian one, you have to pay for the privilege. And I just thought that's insane. So, and particularly in Australia. So I don't know about other countries, but here we have so little on television about business anyway, and then so very, very little that it is driven by women. So I want to change that.
And that's how we connected too, wasn't it, Jules? Like we sort of simultaneously connected and then we both had a similar conversation and I expressed to you at the time, like I have my show, Radio Tony, Everyday Business, and I really like to talk to women.
Yeah.
But I don't know anyone else is doing that. And then Jules told me about her big plans for the future and I got so excited because Jules comes at it from a completely different perspective and that's where we started talking about what might be created for women in business in Australia.
That's right.
There's some amazing women in Australia doing wonderfully creative, entrepreneurial things, and they should be given the opportunity to have equal media and equal representation.
Absolutely.
Traditional and also, and non-traditional.
That's right. And I have to say that my big, hairy, audacious goal for the end of 2021 is that I'm going to start a TV network for women in business.
Yes.
Having said that, what was I going to say? Oh, I've lost my train of thought. But firstly, I wanted to say you are doing amazing things. And secondly, I wanted to
say
there is nothing around the world for us women. There's just nothing. And add to the fact that in order to be successful, most of us are over 45. All of a sudden, there is zero interest from the powers that be that are organising programming in free-to-air television. They just every time you speak to them, they say there wouldn't be anyone interested. And I'm like, how would you know? You've never put anything out there.
Sure.
Anyway, so
it's
time. It's time.
As you can hear, both Jules and I are really passionate about telling the world about women in business, because a lot of those entrepreneurial stories are very unique, with very individual learnings that the women have gleaned from their process. And that knowledge and wisdom should be shared with younger women. So when they're approaching the end of their schooling, that an entrepreneurial journey may exist for them around
whatever
it is that they're passionate about. And
I agree. And they need to see role models. They need to see women doing that. They need to know that there's not three of them, there's 300 of them, there's 3,000 of them. I think that's the bit that's missing, because we do know they're the odd one, but they're everywhere, and we just need to get the word out so that people can see all the incredible things other women are doing.
Absolutely. And the thing is, too, that we're not what you would term the perfect host. So we are perfectly imperfect in what we do, and
that's right.
Where the wonder of the programming is. The other thing is that I'm not sure if people realise, but the independence you gain from doing your own show and doing your own program and doing your own, you are not at the will of an agency, a station, the politics. You have complete freedom to talk to whoever you want to for however long you want in whatever format you want.
That
freedom is amazing, isn't it, Jules?
It is. And I think the other thing that's fantastic about TV, particularly for the hosts, and you would know this as well, is that your profile just goes up and up as a result of it. And I think there are a lot of women who feel icky about trying to big themselves up in the media or anywhere else. But this is a way that you can do it and be seen as an authority, be very generous because you're shining the spotlight on other people. The other thing that we talked about as well that I love about being the host of a TV show is that everyone wants to be on TV. So if, for instance, if you want to do a show like I do about female founders and people say, you know, do you want the Australian head of this? I go, no, I want the global head of this company. And they go, fine.
Yes.
And you can reach out to almost anyone and just about everyone will say yes to a television interview.
Yes, they do. Absolutely. Particularly the women. They usually always say yes. They're incredibly generous with their time and even more generous with their knowledge, wisdom and understanding about the particular spot they have. That can only be a good thing. You and I are both very, we're into the collaboration versus the competition.
Absolutely,
100%. That is a superpower of women. Women that decide that the collaborative approach is the one that works, see phenomenal things happen to them, their business and their growth when they collaborate versus compete for what limited resources or whatever are out there.
Yeah.
The collaboration is the magic.
I agree, and I think that That it's really important to understand that there, or to come from a place where you believe that there is lots of abundance. Because competition, to me, is when someone goes, oh, we've only got these many customers. And so if you have some of them, I've got less. And I don't believe that's true at all. I think that if other people, and let me tell you, I was such a pioneer with Handle Your Own PR. There was one other woman in Australia, the amazing woman called Sue Papadoulis, who was also teaching PR out of Perth. And there was nothing else around. So when we started, we were telling people what PR was and why they should be doing it. You know, I mean, it was really a big education thing. Now in the last 10 years since I've been doing it, more and more and more PR agencies and publicists have gone, actually, why don't I teach people how to do it? So there's a lot more now.
Yes.
And the way, and I've even got a couple of people that have almost pinched my name, not quite, but very, very close. But I still reach out to all of them and say, look, I love it that you're in this space. What can we do together? And if they've got a name that's very similar to mine, I'll say, you know, you want to be careful because otherwise you're going to send customers to me, you know, and I want you to have as many as I've got. So I think I'm a big fan of collaboration, as you say, and I'm a big fan of not seeing competition as bad. It does two things for me. It tells me I'm on the right track. It actually validates what it is that you're doing because other people are copying you. And the other thing is that the more you can grow a sector, the more likely it is that people will start to look for it. So if there's 50 people doing DIY PR, all of a sudden it's a thing and everyone wants to do it. When it's little old me on my own or me and Sue on the other side of the country, it's really hard work. So it works for everyone.
And it's the same with non-traditional. So I consider myself an online broadcaster in non-traditional media. And so people, I'm not sure if people realise that there are so many avenues for you to generate your own PR. So you have the whole plethora of traditional media, radio and TV, but there's this whole huge non-traditional media, and it is growing. And for people to understand that this is the space where you can do amazing things. And you can have your unique business idea in a unique space and create it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you probably now, as word starts to build, the publicists start hearing about you. And so all of a sudden, you know, that they understand the power of the media. They understand the power of what we're doing. And that's why podcasts, you know, I know, certainly in my She's the Boss group, I now get women saying, okay, I've set myself the task of I'm going to get 10 podcast interviews over the next month or whatever they might do. So all of a sudden it is getting more and more legitimate, and I think people are realising that YouTube channels and Radio Tony, all these different ways of doing things are legitimate and very powerful still.
The other thing is, Jules, that the big predictors of trends and what's happening in the marketplace is people like PricewaterhouseCoopers and Deloitte.
Yeah.
Their predictions around non-traditional media in terms of advertising, sponsorship and growth are phenomenal.
So well, it's not surprising. I think it's not surprising when you see mainstream media, the media we've all grown up with, which is free-to-air television and free-to-air radio, is broken. Yes. You know, they haven't innovated, and so therefore they're still chasing the dollars to put into ads that are going to interrupt programs in the hopes that you'll watch them. It kind of blows my tiny mind in a lot of ways that there hasn't been a lot more innovation in the media space. I started my career in newspapers. That has changed so much now that they need to understand that, you know, I don't really want, I mean, I can go and get snippets of things online on websites and things. So what I want now from a printed media is something I can hold on to. I'm looking for long in-depth articles. I'm looking for investigative journalism that's top quality, you know. And I guess and I would pay happily for that. But you know, for them to be doing what is on social media and everything else in little snippets, I just feel like they really have missed a trick. Having said that, I'm not saying it's dead, I'm just saying it's broken and that it needs fixing.
Agreed. And if Jules, if you think about some of the wonderful investigative journalism that's happening in Australia at the moment, it's about women, it's by women, and spearheaded and led by women, which is pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's fantastic and it's exciting, but I'd say it's bloody long overdue, to be honest. It's so great. I mean, even though the topics in Australia at the moment are horrific. I mean, I don't want there to be sexual assaults and people being killed before this becomes on the national agenda. But having said that, the timing of everything and dovetailing with International Women's Day and then the March for Justice and everything else, I think made it, it's a very special time. And I actually, hosted a panel at Pause Fest recently, and my topic was female founders. There is a movement afoot. And I actually do believe that women now, we've kind of gone enough, enough, enough. And not enough, and we're going to agitate. Well, in my case, anyway, not enough. And I want you to make change, men. I want to say, enough. We have waited for 30, 40, 50, 100 years, whatever, for equality. How about we just go and start some of our own stuff, and we'll drive it from our way. And it'll all be, you know, for men and women, as mainstream TV is for men and women, but it'll be slightly different.
Yeah. Jules, I know we've talked about a lot of things today, in particular your desire to set up the TV station within Australia, which is incredibly exciting, and I can't wait to hear more about that. I want to know what your big – you've told us about your 2021 big goal. What does 5 years' time look like for Jules?
Ooh, good question. Okay, Handle Your Own PR has gone global and I've sold it. That's my first thing. So I want it to go global, and then I want out, and I want to spend the rest of my life focusing on women. I would like to have, look, whether it's called a She's the Boss TV network or whether it's called Women in Business or whatever it is, I want there to be a global network. I want at least 200 women to be hosting shows from around the world, and all of those shows to be about business, innovation and technology, interesting stuff, stuff that traditionally is not shown to us. And I want to see younger women being influenced by that. So 5 or 10 years from now, I want to see that there's a big surges in young women thinking about starting their own business, and also women who go into employment and say, I'm not actually really happy with the way that this is happening. And they feel that they can speak up and they're not going to be penalised and they're not going to get kicked out for it. So that's what I would really love to see over the next 10 years for Jules. And then, of course, I'm old. I want to retire. So there's another little bit, which is that the nicest thing would be Jules would be lying on an island somewhere in the Caribbean and running my business from there.
Actually travel again. So I don't know if the international audience understands, but Australians, we're not able to travel internationally. Like, we can if we've got a really good reason, but other than that, we're not being encouraged to travel internationally.
No, we're not being, we're being blocked. We're being blocked. We're not allowed to. But, you know, I mean, look, I would say yes to the international, but when you look, if anyone is from anywhere else in the world, I imagine they're looking at Australia and going, you know what, we've all been locked down for almost as long as you were, but we've still got 5,000 people a day catching it and 100 people a day dying. We have managed to get that to virtually nothing in Australia. So
we have.
While I've been devastated about the lack of travel, on the other hand, I don't think I really want to go to any other countries where I might get COVID at the moment anyway.
Well, I'm just going to say, Jill, we've actually been relatively protected living on this biggest island and the
planet. We're lucky we're an island,
Absolutely, because we get the we can quarantine people as they arrive in the country. We're surrounded by ocean, so you can only, you know, you've got to fly into Australia to get into here, and we've got
But I was I've got lots of family in Ireland and lots of friends in England. They are also on islands, and it is out of control over there. So, you know, I was talking to, it was St. Patrick's Day last week, 17th of March, and we were going backwards and forwards because my mum and dad are both from Ireland, so all our aunts, uncles and cousins are over there, and they are flat as a tack. I could feel it this time going, oh, my God, we've been locked down since November. It's the end of March. They're telling us it'll be May or June before we can get out. It really does get to you. So, you know, as much as there have been a lot of people railing against what they call, you know, our lack of civil liberties and all the rest of it, we now have complete freedom. I mean, you know, the football has just started. We have, for anyone that's overseas, we have 100,000 people a week that go to our football stadiums. They are massive stadiums, and they've just said it's starting again. So we're very lucky. We're very lucky.
Absolutely, and it does make you grateful that we live in this wonderful country. I do find it interesting that we hear again and again and again lots of we have lots of famous people relocating back to Australia from the UK and the US
and Hollywood.
From Hollywood, I was just going to say, just down the road from me is a little place called Byron Bay. And it's only 45 minutes away from us, and it is the most popular spot for well-named, well-known celebrities, and they are setting up their homes in this little idyllic rural beachside because Australia is suddenly safe, you know, and doing and learning from COVID that you don't actually have to do in-person stuff. You can actually have a thriving business doing things online. You can talk to anyone. We can talk to anyone from Australia. And I guess that was the big takeaway for me in 2020 was just discover just how easy it is to connect with people on Zoom, work from home, and still have an international business.
Absolutely.
And I think that you're plan for a station of women hosts for Australia will not only resonate with Australians but also resonate with Americans.
If I can just say it isn't for Australia, I'm not doing it. I will have initially I'm setting up in Australia, but I will be accepting shows. I've got people in India, China and America already. And we will ultimately, our business plan and our pitch deck has us within 3 years, we're in New York and London and, you know, studios around the world as well. But go on.
that actually means that you will be able to provide a 24-hour streaming service and anyone in any country can jump on at any time and see wonderful content produced by women.
My model is more the Netflix model, so it'll be on demand. So people will always be able to do that.
Great. Yeah, that's just so exciting for Australia and for the world, actually, because having spent a bit of time with Jules, I now know how passionate she is about this project, and I'll be the one standing behind her applauding loudly when she gets closer to that destination.
Oh, thank you.
I want to quickly just go back to something that we talked about a little bit earlier, and that is that conversation about inequality. And I guess that it's pertinent to talk about it now because we're seeing it so much across Australia at the moment, but that culture of women feeling that they cannot speak up or cannot be seen in public for fear of the retribution or the attacks, that has to stop. And
it does.
Part of the way that we do that is by doing the sorts of things that Jules and I do that give women that platform to speak up, because the more we speak up, the more that we shine the light on the darkness of humanity and the inequality, the better it becomes. Do you think that is also part and parcel, Jules?
I think that, yes, I agree with everything that you're saying. I think the thing that has struck me, and actually I've written a media release which I'm a little bit nervous to put out, but I'm going to put it out anyway, is that there seems to be a bit of a backlash already. So we had International Women's Day, last week? A lot of us have been going, and I've been banging on about it for a while, and you have as well, but we're going, you know, it's women's time. Give us a chance. You know, we're going to make changes. Yes. What has happened is that, and I've just noticed it, is that somehow or other people think that by championing women, you're putting men down. And I'm not quite sure where that has come from, but I'm now seeing things going, I just want to say that I love men and that men are great and we understand they're a great men. We know that. I don't think that that needs to be said. I just find it really strange that this thing is rising, and it's rising from women saying, don't tell me that you hate men. Well, I mean, at no stage have we said we hate men because we want women to be more successful. It's not a seesaw. If one goes up, the other one doesn't have to go down. So I find it strange.
It's about that balance, Jules. We need to have that balance. So just
it is. And the seesaw is like this. We're trying to make it like that.
Correct. And at no time are we trying to be derogatory against men. This is not anti-men or hating on men.
Because we can't actually do it with
balance.
Yeah, we can't do it without men. I do not actually think it'll happen unless we go and live on another planet. So we need those men. And we all, you know, there's that great old-fashioned saying that behind every good man there's a fabulous woman. Well, I would say the same in reverse, you know. There are a lot of women out there doing amazing things in business, and they couldn't be doing it without their partner's support.
Absolutely, Jules. The number of women that I speak to that talk about the support of their partner, I champion the fact that my husband is one of the most supportive, understanding, kind, patient men on the universe. And I could not do what I do without his love and support. There's just no way.
That's right. No, I know, it's strange, isn't it? I don't know where this phenomenon has come from, but I'm starting to see it a bit, and I've written a media release about why is the word female so inflammatory in business? Because I don't know what you've seen, that there is a campaign out at the moment where people are putting out photos of themselves saying, I'm a female founder, and crossing out the word female and saying, I don't want to be seen as female, I want to be seen as equal. So somehow or other, we're all missing the point, and it all just seems a little bit crazy for me. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, you know. And not just partners, there are incredible male bosses out there. There are lots of people who are championing women. But it's just about recognising that things aren't fair at the moment, and we want to make them fair.
Absolutely. And that goes to that equality of pay, equality of thought, inclusion in big decisions and decision-making. And it's not about a quota either. I've noticed, I don't know about you, Jules, but I've noticed across some of the social media that people are snapping back with the comments about quotas. You know, but it's not about quotas. It's actually about a female perspective and making sure that women are included in all discussions.
And it's not for the women, it's for the end user who gets a much better balance if there are women involved in that decision making as well. I agree. It's interesting. The quota thing is interesting to me because I've been speaking to a whole lot of men recently, and there's one man who I was speaking to who's been very senior. He's been the general manager and CEO of a couple of very, very big insurance companies. And he was talking about how he didn't believe in quotas either because, you know, we didn't.
Yes.
And what's happened for him was he said the final straw for him that made him believe in them, and he thinks we need them and I think we need them as well, is he said, during COVID, their organisation shed 40% of their senior management, as a lot of companies did. And he said it was absolutely disproportionately women. So he said about 80% of the people who were let go out of senior management were women. And he said, hang on a minute, how can we be training these women up and empowering them to become senior leaders? And he said some of them were earmarked for, you know, the top of the tree. And they just got rid of them. Yes. Why did that happen? And so he said, He said, I've never believed in quotas, but now I think if we don't have them, we will not get that change that we're looking for.
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting point. And again, it goes back to we just want to be equal. And so when corporations are shedding jobs, they're equally male and equally female. And that brings that balance back. It's not tipped one way or the other. It's about the balance.
And I think if you took either side, if you looked at that as the flip side and said, imagine if out of senior management there are 80 and 60 of them were men and they've all been kicked out at the same time, you can absolutely guarantee that there'd be an absolute hoo-ha about it.
And yet it's
been normalised a bit for women. It's kind of like, they're not doing it again, are they, kind of thing. And I just don't think we should put up with that anymore.
I don't think we should put up with it. I don't think we should expect it. And I think we should call it out. And that goes through to all levels. And if you take it up a notch and put it into a political level, some of the issues that our current government is experiencing may not have been as bad as they are had they had women saying and doing things that supported women, and the culture was not so masculine, toxic, and horrible.
Well, I think that's also the point, because you can put women into these roles, but if you make it a very patriarchal kind of an organisation, which the government is, and then you bring these women up to the top so that they're very much in the minority, they know that they can't really speak up. They have to support the rest of the team to make it work. Right. So you're not getting that female influence that you need that brings, empathy and intuition and a whole lot of things that are actually really good business skills that will add to an organisation. And they're being stifled because people don't want to say, I think you've done that wrong, sir.
Yeah.
But everyone's very happy to say, I think you've done that wrong, madam.
Yes. Jules, we are at the end of the program already. Thank you so much. What a divine privilege to have you on the show today. I'm so sorry about the time mix-up. And thank you for being so generous. I know that we will be doing things together in the future, and I look forward to watching you create this amazing vision for your life. Thank you so much for being on Radio Tony, Everyday Business. I look forward to chatting to you again soon. And that, my friends, is our show today. This is your host, Tony Lontis. Don't forget to jump onto RadioTony.com. You will find all of Jules' information there as well under the co-host section. And go and look at her Handle Your Own PR. It's fantastic. And that is our lot for today. Bye now. Thanks, Jules.
Thank you so much. Should I leave? Oh, wow.